The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
We've made it to Monday, final one in November, and thanks for being a part of our show today. Man, do we have a lot to do as we get ready for the SEC Championship later in the week. Speculation about coaches, and that's where we begin before we get to our phone calls. But first, a lot to talk about in relation to the weekend, and let's talk about it right now as we share with you some headlines. How about Michigan? Did I read that, Rick, right? That Michigan has completely turned this rivalry upside down. The Wolverines with a huge win and setting up yet another playoff appearance by Jim Harbaugh. Is the field already set? Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and Southern Cal. Well, maybe not. We'll talk about it as the afternoon goes on. But this is what the rankings did look like. They are sure to change, with Ohio State moving out of the top four, Michigan moving in the number two position, TCU will likely move up, LSU will move out. Expect Southern Cal to be at number four, and then the debate is on between Alabama and Ohio State. Does Alabama have a shot at getting back in the playoffs if chaos and carnage reigns? Speaking of all of that, the Auburn coaching search is still alive at the 3 o'clock Eastern Time hour. Lane Kiffin said, forget about it. I'll stay where I am. And now all eyes are on Hugh Freeze. You heard me correctly. Hugh Freeze is the name of the moment. There's a lot of pushing and pulling. We expect we could learn something this afternoon on that front. Do not go anywhere. And if you went to bed early, well, you better have waited until the middle of the night, but David Shaw, one of the most respected names in coaching, out after 12 years at Stanford, a disastrous finish for David Shaw, once considered among the very best coaches in the game. And the Iron Bowl. Remember that game they talk about 365 days a year in Alabama? Well, last home game for Bryce Young and Will Anderson. I know that they were not honored on Senior Day, but you can pretty well bet they have seen their last service at Bryant-Denny. And will they play again in a bowl game is a question many at Alabama are asking today. And the upset of the weekend, maybe of the millennium. I'm just exaggerating there, but why not when talking about the Shane train? Two top 10 wins in a row, one over Tennessee, derailing their title hopes. And how about the gut punch to Dabo Swinney, saying, Dabo, you don't deserve to be in the playoffs, and we're going to make sure you don't get in, winning that rivalry game for the first time since 2013 when the coach was Steve Spurrier. Remember Nick Saban asking and saying, wouldn't it be great if we had parity in college football? Well, it looks like we do finally have some parity, Coach Saban. Alabama hanging on by a thread of its title hopes, probably not going to happen. Clemson knocked out. We are going to see a CFP more than likely without Clemson in Alabama for the first time. And maybe no Ohio State either, depending on what happens this weekend. So things are changing, and it's all because of the transfer portal. It makes the games a lot more equitable. We have a very strong possibility of two first-year coaches. We mentioned Lincoln Riley and Sonny Dykes in the playoff for the first time. That is going to change the dynamics of patience with athletic directors for coaches who say, hey, I've only been here 4 or 5 years. This is only going to be my sixth year. Give me some time. Not when you're seeing results like we are already this college football season. Let's tell you about what we are going to do today. The guest list is absolutely stunning, as always. Bruce Feldman on the coaching carousel, and a year later on Lincoln Riley. We got Dan Wetzel, the all-time curmudgeon of the playoffs, and then Spencer and Richard, and we will certainly break in as we await news from Auburn. And that has been the story of the weekend after the games. What's happening? When we last saw you, Lane Kiffin was the prohibitive favorite. He pulled himself out, and signed a new deal with Ole Miss. Now all eyes on Hugh Freeze. Is there a mystery candidate? What's taking so long? Why is it now 2:06 in Lee County down there in Alabama, and we still don't have a coach? Most of us thought they had to have a coach in by today to get ready for the portal, to get ready to get back on the road. We still expect something soon, so we will keep you updated on that. Let's get to the phones, and we start with Eric in Louisiana. Eric, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Paul. Happy holidays to you and yours.
Appreciate it.
You had a phone call last week. A gentleman said Lane Kiffin was not and 100% not going to take that Auburn job. He's going to stay put in Ole Miss, and that's exactly what happened. And he also said he's waiting for a better job, which is Alabama. And I wanted to know if you remembered that phone call and what's your take on that, if he would be right on that subject.
Let me say this. I don't think the two are connected. I mean, I've never seen any evidence that Lane Kiffin is the designated successor in Alabama. It's not as if Lane Kiffin isn't trying to be the designated successor with all the tweets about the GOAT. But I don't think those are connected. I think Lane Kiffin obviously played one versus the other. There are many people who strongly believe that Lane Kiffin was heading to Auburn as recently as Friday afternoon. And to this moment, I'm not sure what changed. I think the inability to announce that hire on Friday because out of deference to Carnell Williams may have gotten in the way. And Saturday morning, he was gone. John is in Louisville. Hey, John, good afternoon.
It's gone from lame to Shane, the train.
Yes.
Hey, I went to the game, but did you do a welfare check on Jeff today?
Have not heard from Jeff today, but I'm sure he will be screaming as usual.
Yeah, it was the epicenter. He was right. He had the ESP and Fox crew there. He had 17 million watching, and the whole crowd expected Ohio State to win, and just as the game kept going on, particularly a quorum out, it just got quieter and quieter by the fourth period. People were leaving, but yet I'd say about 60% of the Ohio State crowd stayed just kind of stunned in their seats while Michigan planted the flag on the big O there. It was kind of embarrassing. But, Paul, I'm really disappointed in Ohio State and Alabama. I think Legend's right. They need to clean up the coordinators down there at Alabama. I mean, they've had top three classes the last 5 years. Same with Ohio State. I was watching those last two large runs. Ohio State had eight men within 5 yards, and the last run they had 11 men within 5 yards, and they couldn't stop the run. I mean, they need a new coordinator, but I think as far as Ohio State and Alabama getting to the playoffs, they'll have to buy tickets. And what do you think of the Nebraska and Wisconsin hires?
Yeah, we're talking about Matt Rhule and Luke Fickell. I think they're both phenomenal hires. I think Rhule is really Nebraska's last chance. And
so let me ask you. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Last question is, did I really hear you say you vacillated on who was the number one team for the CFP and
yes,
all night, and that you picked Ohio State over Alabama as number five?
I said both of those things. Yeah, while I was watching the game, I thought Michigan was the number one team, and then I sobered up. Those miniatures on airlines can do things to your mind as you're watching a game on Delta Airlines. As far as the other choice, we'll probably not get there. So these are just end of the barroom conversations. But I was asked this morning on Get Up about Ohio State versus Alabama. And I think that without using all the metrics, to me, who have you beaten? And Ohio State has better wins than Alabama does.
Hey, just a fact check from last week. Your number one caller, Legend, did the Turkey Awards, and he identified Augie of Louisville, and I just wanted on paper that Augie's never been here. He's not licensed to practice here. He's never been invited. So in all due respect to your number one caller legend, he's from New Orleans.
Well said. Thank you. Dave is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Paul. What can Hugh Freeze bring to the table that Cadillac Williams can't?
I think that's a good question that that goes unanswered at this hour.
Well, we'll soon find out, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of disappointed people who wanted Cadillac, but I cannot predict what the Auburn coaching search will do, other than I think it will be soon. But if they wanted Cadillac Williams, they could have named him on Saturday night or Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon. It's pretty obvious that Cadillac Williams is not on their list of first or second or third choices. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Jim is next.
I don't know about his ability as a coach, but I know this. I mean, I believe I know this. His character is impeccable compared to anybody else on the list for a candidate for coach at Auburn. I'm telling you, that guy, he's a real fine fella from what I can read about and see.
Well, I think that's really the conundrum. Do you go out and bring in someone who had to be rehabilitated, or do you bring in somebody like you just got through describing?
Well, I would think you'd go after a good character for 18-year, 20-year-old guys rather than somebody. Well, I'm not going to not. You know, you're right. Forgiveness is what is good and right and should be. But again, we don't know whether that guy's changed or not, and we know what his record is. And you do know that Cadillac has got great character. And I'm going to tell you something. I looked in his eyes. I know the look. He's got the look of eagles. And it might be a war eagle, but he's got a look of eagles. And you know what? I think you know what that means. That means a guy that really knows what's going on and is good at what he does. He's powerfully. We used to talk about it on the football field. Certain people have that look of eagles. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I do. All I know about Hugh Freeze is that he was a thanks for the call, Jim. That they lost the last three games of the season, and the last game against New Mexico State, where they were about a 30-point favorite, they lost 49-14. That's what I would be curious about. What in the world happened to your program? You were at home against a team that was completely worthless. Were you spending too much time preparing your Auburn acceptance speech? I don't know the answer to any of those questions, but I do know this. We'll be right back after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back here as we continue. Apparently, Jim had one more thing to say before we hit the break there. What do you got, Jim?
Maybe two more, Paul. Maybe two more. I'm not pushed to a break now, am I?
No, you're in good shape.
Okay, thank you. Paul, number one, let me say this to John from Louisville, who thinks he's the analyst of the all-time Feinbaum guys from up north or wherever he's from. Memo, John, Legion is not the number one caller. I might not be the number one caller on this show, but he sure ain't the number one caller. Oh, I've got to tell you, a friend of mine called me last night. He says, are you watching Trey Gowdy? I said, no, I'm not. He said, well, turn it on. You got to hear this. I got the replay. I guess you heard, didn't you, Paul?
No, I did not. He has a show on my
Fox. I can't believe you hadn't heard. Well, he had Tim Tebow as a guest. And Tim Tebow, he asked him, he said, well, you smile all the time. How do you keep smiling when you have to be around Paul Feinbaum?
Trey Gowdy asked that question.
You got to hear it. What?
Wow, I didn't realize. That's quite a question.
I can't believe they didn't get you there. I can't believe you didn't. Yeah, and Tebow made some remark about, well, I've got to do this or that, or I'm trying to help Paul. I don't know what he said. I can't remember what he said. But I thought, wow, Trey Gowdy is not on your A-list.
Yeah. He's no longer in Congress, is he?
I don't think so, but okay. He's still in South Carolina, isn't he?
Yeah, no, I just want to make sure that I'm not at odds with a public official here, because I haven't heard that one. I'll go back into my I'll ask my good friend Laura Ingram if she can get me a copy of that tape.
Yeah, well, I definitely heard it. I mean, he was definitely on. He asked Tim, and Tim asked Tim about it. It was funny though. You know, that was funny.
That is funny. Well, I appreciate you telling me that.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. We go from Jim to J.K.
What's happening, Paul?
J.K.
Now I know what's wrong with you. I've been trying to figure it out. Laura Ingram is your friend. Now I know what's wrong
with
you.
Well, I said that. By the way, I said that somewhat jokingly, but she's a big Alabama fan. And I've been in, I don't know her. I've never met her. I've been introduced to her by mutual friends to have conversations about Alabama football.
Well, that's the second thing that's wrong with her. But let me get to this, Paul. This the week, right? This week where teams get left out. Coaches and fans are pissed off because they don't understand why. And I got the feeling they got that playoff committee sitting in that room. They're sharpening up the knives, getting ready to stick it to TCU or Ohio State, teams that went the whole season, were undefeated. Now you're going to skip this team that lost two games at the beginning of November. You're going to slide them right in that fourth spot. I got that bad feeling, Paul. You know I don't want that to happen. I got that feeling.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen if they both win. Now, if they both lose, then Southern Cal will definitely be out. I don't know about TCU. That's the unanswered question right now. Could they survive a loss in the championship game?
Hey, Paul, I want to ask you this. I'm going to get your opinion on this. What's worse or what's better? I don't know which is the phrase to use. But which one is the worst, I think? Ohio State getting blown out at home after going 11-0, or Alabama squeaking by two unranked teams to be promoted over Ohio State if it came down to it?
Well, I think ultimately you have to look at the entire body of work, and you know, do you choose the best losses or do you choose the best wins? And to me, wins are accomplishments. I'm tired of hearing people excuse Alabama for losing twice. They almost lost five times. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's check out Stacy in Birmingham. Hello, Stacy.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
Hey, tell Jim to keep his daytime job. And tell J.K., only thing he has to look forward to is a regular season with Miami. But, Paul, I got to ask you a question, Paul.
Okay. Well,
Do you drink?
Do I drink? Other than during the show, no.
Well, I think you've been hanging out with Pete Golden. Let me tell you why I think you've been hanging with Pete Golden.
Okay.
You said that Ohio State should get in over Alabama. Didn't you say that?
Well, I said if it comes down to that, who would I choose? Yes.
If it comes down to it, Ohio State lost by 22 points to Michigan, who didn't have their starting running back. Okay? Now, tell me who have Ohio State beaten. Notre Dame?
I'll be happy to tell you that. They beat Notre Dame in the opener.
Okay.
At home, which I discount that tremendously, being a home game. And then they beat Penn State on the road by, I think, 12 points in October. Penn State will be ranked probably in the top 7 or 8 tomorrow night.
Okay. All right. So you put Ohio State in the SEC.
Are you going to ask me who Alabama has beaten, or are you just going to leave that out?
Well, now let's talk about that. Who has Alabama beaten?
They have beaten Texas. without its starting quarterback for three quarters by a field goal at the gun.
Okay.
That's one win that I can think of. And the other win I would say is probably Ole Miss or Mississippi State, 2-4 lost teams. One
well,
at home,
Paul,
one on
whenever
the road.
Whenever you talk about the SEC, anything can have to happen
well,
that, in
that's
the
not what,
SEC.
That's not, and by the way, apparently that may be applicable in other cases. But are you impressed by beating Texas, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State?
No, I'm impressed by losing. Even though we lost,
oh, okay.
We lost to two top-ranked teams by a total of combined points, 4 points.
Yeah, I'm aware of those games.
But you still think Ohio State got beat to sleep at home. And you still ain't saying they ought to get in before Alabama? Are you biased against Alabama? I mean, you work for the SEC network.
Stacey, let me answer the question this way. I'm not biased against anyone. I was asked an honest question on a nationally televised show today, and I gave an answer. What does that have to do with where I work?
Well,
would you prefer for me to give opinions based on where I live and where I went to school and where I work, or would you like an honest opinion?
Well, I appreciate your honest opinion. I mean, that's your opinion, and I appreciate that. But at the end of the day, Paul, I just think that, you know, you go on the road, you know, in a very heated environment and lose by 3 points, lose by 1 point. But then you're at home and you play and you get beat by 22 points.
No,
and that team is not.
I want to make it clear to you, Stacey, I'm well aware of the environments of all those places. I appreciate the call, though. Bruce Feldman on the latest with the Auburn coaching search after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And I want to get some more knowledge about what happened up at Columbus this weekend. Bruce Feldman was there for Fox, and you saw him on the sidelines. He's written extensively about the resurgence of Jim Harbaugh. So many other things I want to get to, including a year later on Lincoln Riley. Bruce, thanks for the time. Thank you for joining us very much. Let's start with what you saw up in Columbus over the weekend and the story of the year so far in college football with that dominant win by Michigan. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Yeah, it was kind of shocking to be in the shoe and kind of witness that from the field and see, you know, on one hand, it felt like Ohio State should have been up like 20-3. And the next thing you know, it's 10-10. And all of a sudden it's like it's a battle and you can feel like who is the team that is the tougher team felt like they were the better team. And ultimately it's like that was really what took over in the second half. The team that felt like they were the more physical team proved that they were.
How has Jim Harbaugh commandeered this turnaround from 2 years ago, wondering if he would be around to literally looking down at almost everyone in college football?
It's really remarkable turnaround, Paul, because I think, look, to his credit, They really realized, hey, we are not going to be able to out-personnel our arch rival. You know, he lost to Ohio State every time. Ohio State has this big-time passing game, all these great receivers and high-profile recruits. And they were like, you know what, we're just going to out-culture them, and we are going to out-physical them. We're going to push them around. And remember, Harbaugh was the guy who wanted to build the bully of the West Coast at Stanford. He did. And they turned out, he turned that program around. And so we had a big story on The Athletic a week or so ago about just what it went, what they did to change the culture inside the program. And what you had is tremendous buy-in from everybody in the building, players especially. And they grind it out in terms of all the physicality stuff. They implemented a beat Ohio period every week. That is, you know, coaches who've been there said that's the most physical period we've ever seen at any place we've been. How they crank it up. They focused on making their offensive line and the stuff in the trenches to really be part of their DNA. That's what they value. And it was interesting to see how that kind of manifested itself. There's a part in the game, it's midway through the third quarter, they're kind of clinging to a lead, and a couple of the Michigan players on the sideline kind of rallied, at first the whole defense, but then it was almost the whole team was in a timeout, and Mike Sainristil, who's a nickelback and probably the smallest guy on the defense, but he was a converted receiver, basically pointed over to the Ohio State side. He was like, hey, we know who they are. They're showing you who they are, meaning, you know, we just punched them in the stomach, and they're about to break. And at that point, he had said to them, look, you guys want to win the Natty? It starts right now. And they rallied, and all of a sudden, they dominated the rest of the game. I mean, you look at it, 28-3 in the second half. That was all about the team that was more physical, the team that was more determined. And that is such a difference, Paul, from where they were before 2021. I mean, to see them become this dominant team, I mean, they ended up blowing Ohio State out, and now they've done it back-to-back games. It's crazy to see how far this program has come. And look, credit to Jim Harbaugh. When I had did this story when it first went up about the culture change and how he listened to, you know, his right-hand guy who was on the staff and everything, I heard from a bunch of Texas A&M folks who were talking about, like, they kind of identified with it because, hey, we need Jimbo Fisher to make some of these changes. And it's hard a lot of times for coaches in their 50s who've had a lot of success to be open to listening to other people to make big changes. So credit to Harbaugh for doing that.
So many things have happened over the weekend. Let me start with David Shaw, one of the most respected people in the game, stepping down. What does that mean, Bruce? And will we see him again?
I don't think we'll see him again as a college coach. You know, people have really responded to him well when he's jumped in NFL Network's draft coverage, and he's a very thoughtful voice. I think a lot of things changed. This program really backslid a lot in the last 4 years, especially. I don't think they've won more than four games in any season in the last 4 years. And so there was a lot of rumblings on the West Coast that something had to change. He's too well respected, and Stanford is not a place that, you know, operates like most major college football programs. They weren't going to shove him out the door and fire him, but it was his decision. And I think that they need change. They need change, maybe how the administration, you know, how they're going to handle it. It's hard for them to get transfers in there. They also don't really have they're not involved in NIL the way most major college programs are. And I think you see a lot of frustration, but at the same time, you know, this is one of the most respected men in football. So I think there's probably some sadness for a lot of people, but now it's like, where does Stanford go from here? Because, you know, it wasn't that long ago where they were a top 10 team, and now they're one of the worst teams in Power 5 football.
Bruce Feldman with us. Bruce, you also mentioned earlier, and it was just remarkable to think about a year ago today, learning that Lincoln Riley was leaving Oklahoma for Southern Cal. We know we got Caleb Williams and obviously Jordan Addison and others, but how would you describe the last 52 weeks for Lincoln Riley and what it's meant out there in SoCal?
It has been a huge adrenaline shot to West Coast football. you know, I started seeing people retweet something I had reported a year ago and was like, why is this showing up on my timeline this morning? And then I realized, oh man, today is the anniversary of that day. And like, I looked at some of the conventions and people are like, West Coast football is dead. They're irrelevant. There's no way he's going to do this and all this other stuff. And now you're talking about a team that basically, if they win in a game they're favored on Saturday against Utah, they're going to go to the playoff. Their quarterback, Caleb Williams, is the runaway leader for the Heisman Trophy. They were so bad last year. They had one of the worst defenses, you know, probably the worst defense they ever had. Their offense was a mess. You know, there was just no, it was a rudderless operation. And now, you know, they're the most exciting team in college football. If you're looking at what they're doing with Caleb Williams in that system, it had been a long time since people had looked at USC the way they do now, because of Lincoln Riley came back out there and he almost immediately made USC nationally relevant. I thought, you know, getting them much better wasn't going to take that much because they just had no identity for a while. But to do what he's done now, to have them looking like they're going to be a playoff team in year one with a Heisman Trophy winner, I mean, that is an amazing turnaround. And I don't think we've seen anything quite like this in a long time, to see how bad they were to how explosive they are. And a lot of it is that you have a transfer portal where you can make dramatic changes if you get a lot of buy-in, and they have. The way it's taken off has been pretty amazing.
Bruce, you reported over the weekend that Deion Sanders has been offered the Colorado job. What do you think is next for Deion Sanders?
I think it's really to determine, is this the best place for me to go next with my coaching career? You know, I would sit there and say, you know what, like if USF, which is obviously a Group of Five job, but it's a good Group of Five job. We know he's from Florida. If they came after him and made a hard sell for what they thought his, you know, his vision of college football program could be, I don't know if you're him, whether you weigh which is the better job. I mean, I think you can win faster at another place. CU is the worst roster, I would say, probably in all of Power 5 football. There are some challenges there in terms of getting some transfers into school. There's a lot of issues to sort out. But he is a guy who could really make them relevant. You know, he's different than Lincoln Riley, but in terms of just he has such a commanding presence. We saw how well he can recruit when he beat everybody in college football to get the nation's number one recruit to go to an FCS program. You know, he has done really well on the field. I'm actually surprised more bigger schools have not really come after him. But one of the things that you hear little rumblings of is just like some of the power brokers at these schools are maybe a little uncomfortable with Deion having such a big presence and such a big personality, that they feel like maybe they lose whatever control that they think they have over some of these coaches they're paying a lot of money to. You know, if you're Colorado, I totally get it why you'd go after him, given the success he's had, given the way he can make a place that has been, you know, so in the dustbin, can put some much-needed life into it. And we'll see. They have a big game this weekend, you know, for Jackson State. I imagine nothing will happen formally until after that game.
Bruce, finally, how did Auburn miss on Lane Kiffin, and how close are they to hiring Hugh Freeze?
You know, that whole thing seemed to be such a mess, you know, Paul, with the run-up to the Egg Bowl and everything else. You know, it's hard to predict where they're gonna go. I mean, I think Hugh Freeze, if he was the head coach at Auburn, and I know Hugh Freeze has baggage, we all know that, but I think if he was the head coach at Auburn, I would not be at all surprised if he had them in the top 10, the top 15 in a hurry. I mean, we've seen how good of a coach he is in terms of he's a really good play caller. You know, ask Nick Saban how tough of a coach he is to play against. He beat good, you know, elite Alabama teams more than once. He knows what it takes to win in the SEC. But obviously now the longer this thing plays out, I don't want to say it's like that old Tennessee search from a few years ago. But when other people start scooping up coaches, you know, whether it's a Matt Rhule, who's a really good coach, or get Luke Fickell, who's a really good coach, You know, those guys went to Big Ten schools, which maybe is more closer to, you know, their DNA, what those guys, you know, identify themselves with. But again, this is obviously it's a big job with a lot of resources and a lot of money. If you're sitting there saying, all right, they screwed it up last time with a guy who they didn't have good alignment with and what just wasn't a good fit. You know, I think they know they have to get this one right. You often say that with coaching searches, but especially after what happened and how it happened, I think, you know, sit there and have Lane Kiffin end up at another, you know, with a bigger deal at Ole Miss. I think they gotta make sure that everything when they get this, the alignment is totally on point. And I can see why they're deliberating over it.
Well done. Great stuff from Bruce Feldman of Fox and The Athletic. Many thanks, Bruce. We appreciate it. We'll head to the break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And we are continuing to monitor the Auburn situation. Could it break this afternoon? We'll have it for you if it does.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back as we continue to watch all the events of today. The big story that has yet to break is Auburn. What will they do? They are certainly on the clock at nearly 3 p.m. Central Time in Auburn without a coach, although most people believe it is Hugh Freeze. That seems to be the speculation of the hour. And nobody is knocking that story down. Let's go to Daryl next. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Paul, appreciate you taking my call. You know what? It has to be Hugh Freeze. What does Hugh Freeze have that Cadillac Williams doesn't have? An accomplished resume, okay? You want character? Mark Richt had character, right? Or do you want to win titles? Because Hugh Freeze has the pedigree to win titles. And, I mean, it just has to be Hugh Freeze. Let me say this to these Alabama fans, Paul. I mean, you're not – first of all, I don't believe no team is going to get in with two losses, okay? That never has. It's not going to happen this year. But how could you sit there, Alabama fans, and think that you should go ahead of a one-loss Ohio State who got beat by the number two team in the country? How can you sit there and think you should go ahead of a two-loss Tennessee team that has the same record as you do, and they beat you? Who have you beat, Alabama? Top-ranked, I mean, obviously my opinion of top-ranked schools and their opinion of top-ranked schools is different, because I don't see LSU, a three-loss LSU team, as being a top-ranked school. That means you beat number 21, Texas, okay, by barely, and you beat Mississippi State, number 25. That's the only ranked teams that you beat this year. But let me also say this to him, Paul. Think about what you're doing right now. You're trying to campaign for getting into a playoff, okay? Because when this is all said and done and you don't get in, don't go back to hating on your coaches and try to get them fired, because obviously they're pretty good, but because you're trying to get into a 14 playoff. Now, Paul, I want to talk real quick about Georgia, okay, and what they have been able to accomplish. If you go back and look at last year, okay, what Kirby had to go through, okay, we had a walk-on quarterback, three-star nose guard, lost his five-star defensive sack leading player after the Florida game, and still won a national title. Just absolutely amazing, right? But to come back this year and lose 15 players to the draft, the majority on the defense, lose his entire starting backfield, okay, and still had the same thing pretty much happen. Lost our best wide receiver for almost the entire year, A.D. Mitchell. Lost his five-star leading sack team leader after the Florida game again, Nolan Smith. And to be to go 12-0, and you know, people just say, I heard them say cupcake schedule. I mean, let's look at that, okay? Looking at the final regular season poll, Georgia played 14.
No, I'm afraid we're going to have to run, but thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Again, we are monitoring the situation in Auburn, where all speculation continues to center around Hugh Freeze's return to the SEC. Remember, he was fired by Ole Miss for both personal reasons and the NCAA probation that later came. The school has not made any comment today, but it seems like we are getting closer to a Hugh Freeze hiring in Auburn to replace Brian Harsin. Apparently, after Lane Kiffin turned them down, they turned to Freeze. It took a little bit of time to get through some of the baggage, one would presume. They clearly were not in favor of elevating Carnell Williams on a permanent basis. So we'll continue to follow that story throughout the afternoon, and we're coming right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.